Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Thursday, May 31st. Guess what year? 2007. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live, very much alive, not feeling the best of these allergies, but very much alive and live coming to you from Washington. Beautiful day here in this town. It's an interesting day for me. I had the opportunity to once again hook up with my friend William Fox. He's the proprietor of amfirstbooks.com on the internet. amfirstbooks.com. It's an email house, an email publishing house. And I'm pleased to say that he makes my books available on in ebook format at amfirstbooks.com. You can also very simply go to a website that he set up to promote my books. It's called, very simply, michaelcollinspiper.com. I told Bill today I'm a little bit shy about getting up here on the network and promoting my books that way, but there are those of you who are interested in what I have to say and what I have to write, and if you're interested, you know, there's this website Bill has set up, michaelcollinspiper.com. It's got a collection of a lot of recent writings of mine and some older things, too. And, of course, and you can access that all for free. And then there's even some pictures of me up there. They're not the best pictures in the world, but, you know, it's funny. Even good-looking people like me sometimes don't take the best pictures. But in any case, that website, michaelcollinspiper.com, has the access at remarkably cheap prices to ebook versions of my books. And also, you can find the works at AmFirst, that's in as in America First, AmFirst, amfirstbooks.com. You'll find access to the works of other writers, including Tom Chittum, who's been a guest on this show not once but twice. The last visit ended in disaster. But also Colonel Don de Grand Pre and others. So I told Bill I was going to give a boost for the site, and I hope you will. I hope you'll at least check it out, even if you don't buy any books. In any case, there's also, I should say, a lot of other interesting material up on the amfirstbooks.com website. It's not all just stuff for sale. There's a lot of interesting commentary by Bill Fox, and by other people, and it's as good a site as any I've seen on the internet. So as I say, I do urge you to check it out. You can, the easiest thing to do is you can go to michaelcollinspiper.com and find the link to America First Books right up there. So that's the story on that, folks. I have a few things to go through with you here on the agenda this evening, and then later, of course, we'll go to the phones. We're having a little bit of technical problems tonight at the network regarding the page where they communicate with me off the air. And so there may be a little bit of trouble, but you are free to call in here. I would say probably start around the half-hour break. That's about the time I'll go to the phones. So the number here is 800-313-9443. Well, we are going to that break, folks, and when we come back, a little bit of commentary here. All right, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because guess why? You can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and this is Michael Collins Piper, baptized, as we all know, Michael Bernard Piper. Now, of course, some say that's evidence that I'm a Jew. Well, sorry to tell you, one of the great saints of the church was named Bernard, but I was named after a teddy bear named Barney. They just didn't think it was appropriate to call me Michael Barney Piper, so they changed it to Bernard. But in any case, since I have been accused of being Jewish, or at the very least, a Zionist agent, I got to thinking today, right now they're having a campaign for president of the World Jewish Congress. Tomorrow, I guess, is the last day before people can file their candidacies. Well, I'm not going to be able to file my candidacy unless I rush on it, but so I think I'm going to just here and now announce my candidacy. I would like to be the first non-Jew elected president of the World Jewish Congress. I think that I could be very, very helpful. I could kind of be an intermediary between the international Jewish organizations and the rest of us. I think, you know, I mean, it just seems fair. Here's why I say this. It just seems fair that the World Jewish Congress should have a non-Jewish president, because we have had now three, count them, three Jewish presidents of the World Bank. We had Mr. Wolfensohn. Oh, I'm not making a mistake, folks. That was his name, James Wolfensohn. He was president of the World Bank. Then we had Mr. Wolfowitz, who was president of the World Bank. Now, there may have even been someone in there between them, but now they want Robert Zoellick as president of the World Bank. Now, I'm beginning to think that the Jews have a monopoly on the presidency of the World Bank. So to counter that monopoly and show that they have good faith, they should elect me, a non-Jew, as head of the World Jewish Congress. And I guarantee you, folks, my first pledge, when elected, if elected, I should say, if elected president of the World Jewish Congress, I will declare, at least during my presidency, that the United States will not be asked to fight any more wars for Israel, because that's what the war in Iraq has been all about, and that's what the impending bombing of Iran is all about. And we have Norman Podoretz, this Trotskyite conservative. He's written an opinion piece for the Wall Street Journal, The Case for Bombing Iran. He says, I hope and pray that President Bush will do it. He says that as an American and as a Jew, and of course in the Zionist propaganda these days, they're using the terms American and Jew interchangeably. It's almost as if Israel and America are one. He says, as an American and a Jew, I pray with all my heart that the president will attack Iran. Well, as a possible future president of the World Jewish Congress, folks, I'm here to tell you that under my administration, as president of the World Jewish Congress, the United States will not be asked to attack Iran. I will even maybe declare a moratorium on Jewish wars of survival, because too many of them have been fought in this, well, at least in the last century, and already, of course, in the current century. Well, speaking of Israel, that's a topic I dare say I write and think a lot about. Washington Jewish Week announces Congress has passed lobbying reforms that restrict travel funded by nonprofit groups, but they aren't expected to affect trips to Israel. In other words, folks, another special exemption, another case of special treatment for a very special little country, and it's very special and powerful big lobby in Washington. The article says Jewish leaders had initially lobbied against the proposed rules but dropped their opposition after receiving assurances that travel to Israel would be unaffected. The law is aimed at junkets masquerading as educational travel. Well, that's what these junkets to Israel are. They're junkets. They're favoritism. They're little scams to pay off and patronize members of Congress and their families. But of course, again, as we see here, special favors and special rules. Well, you know, not everybody in the world toadies to Israel. Britain's largest teachers union voted this week to boycott Israeli academic institutions, setting the stage for a bitter struggle to reverse the decision. So reports the distinguished Jewish paper Forward. This union, it's called the University and College Union. It represents more than 120,000 college-level educators. They voted May 30th to pass a controversial resolution calling for a boycott of Israeli academics and universities, as well as a moratorium on European Union funding of Israeli research. Pretty impressive, I thought, folks. You know, in the old days, you know, I was your step and fetch it conservative, and any time I heard about a union, I thought unions were really bad things. And of course, unions do bad things, but, you know, unions also do some good things, and I suppose if it weren't for the fact that my father was a member of a union, I probably wouldn't have been able to go through college, or at least I couldn't have gotten my way paid through college, and I'm not ashamed to say that my father did pay my way through college. I know it's a badge of honor for a lot of people to say they worked their way through college. Well, folks, my way through college was paid lock, stock, and barrel by my father, and that gave me the opportunity to get a job and work in college so that I had a lot of money to throw around. And I'm not complaining about it. I'm not going to play the little game and pretended I'm not glad my father paid my way through college. So it was thanks to the fact that he had a good union that fought for good wages. And as I say, a lot of people don't like unions, but it's, I think, oftentimes a gut reaction. So many of us, particularly those of us who always considered ourselves conservatives, and I still do for the most part, but those of us who consider ourselves conservatives have for so long been trained to bark on cue at little catchphrases and buzzwords, and that's why so many good patriots, unfortunately, have been able to be misled by people like this war criminal in the White House, this lunatic, this religious fanatic, this puppet on a string, this weird little monkey who goes by the name George W. Bush. Well, speaking of weird folks, a very weird fellow stands trial today in Chicago. Christopher Balin, also known as Kingster Balloon, finally goes to trial today. He was on trial today. They're apparently getting ready to pick a jury. It's kind of interesting. Mr. Balin has been loudly protesting that, oh, no, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm just anti-Zionist. At the same time, however, in publicizing this to his supporters who, for whatever reason, are giving this man money, he's kind of covering up the fact that he was once married to an Israeli woman who Balin himself has said that this woman probably worked for Israel's Shin Bet, their domestic intelligence service. So in any case, you know, Balin has a good argument there if he wants to insist that he's not anti-Semitic. Personally, I think Balin is anti-Semitic, based upon comments that he's made to me, or did make to me during the period that we were associated. And, you know, frankly, folks, you know, there is no law against being anti-anything in this country today. That is one of the benefits of living in this country, although they are quickly stomping us down on every given opportunity through all sorts of codes and regulations and extensions of the Hate Crimes Act and so forth, and attempting to criminalize political speech. But, you know, you are allowed to be anti. And I would suggest to Mr. Balin, maybe I should be out there as his defense attorney, folks, rather than the high-priced attorney he's somehow come up with, along with a private detective and God knows how many other people on his defense team. I would suggest to Mr. Balin that instead of trying to fight and kick and scream in the presence of the Jewish judge and the Jewish prosecutors who are presiding over this trial, I would say just to Mr. Balin that he dare to be able to speak out and say, hey, look, I've got Jewish prosecutors going after me. I've got a Jewish judge going after me. Why are they going after me? Because they know I'm anti-Jewish. No, instead, Mr. Balin is going to take the cowardly way and try to argue and debate the history of Zionism. He's going to try to say that, oh, I'm only anti-Zionist, I'm not anti-Jewish. But then again, the people in the jury are going to say, well, we don't completely understand what all this Zionism stuff is. But, you know, I think Mr. Balin, if he really wants to get acquitted, should instead turn the tables and put the judge and the prosecutors on trial and say, hey, folks, the reason why they're going after me is because I am anti-Jewish. And guess what, folks? It's okay to be anti-Jewish in this country. If you want to believe what you want to believe, that's protected by the First Amendment. But Mr. Balin isn't going to take that approach. I have to be honest, folks, as I said at lunch today, if Mr. Balin was convicted, you know, I'd kind of, in some ways, I'd kind of be amused, but in all honesty, I have to say that I really don't want to see him convicted. I'd like to see the man freed. I'd like to see him be able to leave the country as he would like to do, I think, and just get away from Daryl Bradford Smear and Eric Huffschmidt. That relationship is what got Christopher in trouble in the first place and caused him to end his relationship with American Free Press. A great tragedy. So I'm here to say I don't want to see Christopher convicted. All right, folks, when we come back, I'm going to tell you where you can see Charles Krauthammer and Douglas Feist, two of the big-time warmongers. If you want to catch up with them, I'm going to tell you where you can. And then we're going to go to the phones.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Piper here. We have a caller aboard with us. I'm going to go ahead and bring him right up. It's Jeff in Vermont. How are you tonight, Jeff?
Hello?
Hello, Jeff. Are you there?
Hey, yeah. I was.
Yeah, how you doing?
There's a lot of clicking going on there.
That happens on my phone a lot.
It does. Mike, how you doing?
All righty. I was actually talking about you today, Jeff.
You were?
I was telling a neighbor of mine the story that you told on this program about the young lady who wanted to write a paper on the attack on the USS Liberty and how her professor decided that that was not an event of history.
Professor Krantz?
She
ended up letting her write the paper.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to ask you about that, so I'm glad you called. Now we know. He did decide that the attack on the USS Liberty was a historical event after all.
He actually did a lot of research on it, and he said, "Holy cow, that actually happened!" And he goes, "He didn't believe it." And it just goes to show you how much suppression and I was surprised he said that about that union, because I belong to the Steelworkers Union, and the academics I think they're the most brainwashed out of all of them, and there must be something going on where if the academics are figuring out that, you know, maybe this Holocaust and the moon landing and all this other stuff isn't real, because I was hurt and I was like, I want to get to the bottom of this moon landing, and you know, because I've never researched it. And it is quite convincing that they didn't land on the moon. I mean,
let me tell you something, Jeff. One of my colleagues at American Free Press John Tiffany. The very bright fellow comes from a very bright and interesting family. When his father died, his father had been a high-ranking official and scientist with the Bendix Corporation who had worked on the lunar projects. When John's father died, it was said in a news story-style obituary about him that had it not been for Dr. Tiffany, man would have never reached the moon. But I'm here to tell you that Dr. Tiffany's son was the first person who ever introduced me to the information about the moon landing, which had convinced him, the son of someone who worked in the lunar project, that man probably never did reach the moon.
But the funny thing, me and my brother were talking about it. He lives in Maine, and he goes, how'd they get that buggy on the spacecraft? Because he studied it and stuff like I did, and there's no way they could have got that buggy, because it looks like a Chevy 350, you know, old truck style axle with the tires on it, and there's no way that thing could have set it on. There's just certain things.
You know,
that
this is interesting.
Why.
This is interesting because, you know, I'm no scientist, okay? So you can tell me anything about science, and if it's said convincingly, I'll believe it. But I tell you what, enough people I know and respect, people I know who are not nuts, people who I know are on the level, people I know who have some understanding about science, people from a variety of walks of life, and most of them highly educated people, I should say, all of them highly educated people, they have told me, they have read this literature, they have seen these videos, and they find it convincing. So you know, so many intelligent people can't be completely off base on something like this.
It is.
And you know, it's funny, we were talking at this luncheon today that I had with Bill Fox and with another gentleman, Ralph Forbes, who's been on this program. You know, we got talking about this very subject. Again, it's kind of funny you bring it up because because we were talking about it today, and as I think Bill put it, I'm not quoting him directly on this, but essentially what Bill said is this, and I think he's made a good point here, that and Bill is nobody's fool, by the way. He said that, you know, if he looks at all of the propaganda that we've gotten out of the mass media and from the government about so many other things that we know that have been absolute lies, why should we necessarily even believe what they tell us about the landing on the moon? I mean, that...
Exactly.
That point alone is... To me, is very telling. And again, Bill Fox, you know, is one of... This guy's... As I say, nobody's fool, and this is his opinion on it. So, you know, I don't. I know it's very popular. It's very popular for some people to discount stories about the moon landings and to say, well, you shouldn't talk about it because it sounds nutty and so forth. But you know, the same thing can be said about so many other topics that I talk about, that we talk about on this program, that are far from nutty and certainly have a very solid, solid basis in reality. So it takes a lot for me to just dismiss something out of hand, especially when I've seen so many intelligent people, you know, making arguments against the official government story. And there's a lot of holes in it, no question about it.
And you know what's nutty is people watching Peter Jennings and Dan Rather in 60 Minutes in 2020. That's nutty. You got to be nuts to watch that stuff. But there is something online. There's one of these guys that's a big promoter of the fake moon landing, and he went up to Neil Armstrong, and he had a Bible in his hand, and he had the Bible, and he goes, and he had $5,000 in cash, and he went up to Neil Armstrong, he goes here, take the $5,000 in cash, and just swear on the Bible that you went onto the moon. And he wouldn't do it.
Hang on for the break. You inspired another story that involves the steel workers. But I want to talk about Neil Armstrong more when we come back. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington. Stay tuned. Got a great little story on Bobby Kennedy.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We have quite a few callers lined up, but we still have Jeff from Vermont on board. And since he's a steel worker, I want to tell a story, which I also just happened to be talking about today. Funny little world we live in here. But regarding Neil Armstrong, I had heard that story about the moon landing denier confronting him at one point or another. And it's funny, you know, there's a good opportunity to make $5,000, and evidently Neil Armstrong, he apparently is taking the approach that he's not even going to honor his critics with the courtesy of open debate. That's an interesting story, though. Like I say, it seems to me there is a lot of unanswered questions about the moon landing, though. That's for sure.
In my opinion, I think there's more evidence to prove that there wasn't a moon landing than there was a moon landing.
There was, you know, but you know what the argument that people have against it is? They'll say, well, I saw that on television.
My dad doesn't believe in it.
You know, a lot of people, if you actually pin them down on it, I have had people tell me, when I had someone completely out of the blue tell me years ago, when I told him that there was a lot of evidence to suggest we never landed on the moon, he turned around. In fact, now I recall who it was. It was my uncle. And he said, oh, I never believed that in the first place. So, you know, funny little world, as I say. Now, I got to tell this story about the Steelworkers Union. I had a very good friend, and I've mentioned him on this show several times, the late William J. Gill. He was a very well-known conservative anti-communist author all through the 60s, 70s, and into the 80s. He later became an outspoken critic of free trade, and he had a lot of interesting journalistic background. He wrote for Reader's Digest, Fortune magazine. He was also at one point the executive director of the Allegheny Foundation, which is the foundation of the Mellon Scaife family. He was also a lobbyist for the steel industry. And as a lobbyist for the steel industry, obviously, he had a lot in common. Although the industry fights the unions and vice versa, they often have a lot of things in common, you know, fighting for survival. But one of his good friends back in the mid-1960s was a very prominent Irish Catholic leader of the steelworkers in one of our great states here in the United States. And this particular Irish Catholic steelworkers union leader also happened to be a very close political ally of Jack and Robert Kennedy, and also a close personal friend of the Kennedy family. And my friend, being a conservative Republican, was not too fond of the Kennedys, even though he too was an Irish Catholic. But his steelworker leader friend said to him, "Bill, listen, I want to tell you something. I want to introduce you to Bobby Kennedy." And Bill said, "I'd never want to meet Robert Kennedy, that goddamn liberal, blah, 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 blah," these kind of things. He said to him, listen, Bill, I want to tell you something about Bobby Kennedy. He hates Jews just as much as you and I do. He says you two would really hit it off. He said, in fact, anytime I'm ever out to dinner with Bobby and Bobby gets talking about the Jews, which he does all of the time, he said he refers to them as the liberals.
It's true.
That is an absolutely true story.
Wow.
And, you know, it's so funny because, you know, when Bobby Kennedy ran for the Senate in New York, he, of course, was very, very pro-Israel, as all politicians running for the Senate from New York are.
They have to be.
But that's what Bobby Kennedy really thought about a really controversial subject. And I know that some of our listeners are just tearing their hair out to hear that story told. But I'm here to tell you that story is true.
Wow.
Well, Jeff, I got to move on, but
thank you.
Fun. Thanks for your call. All right, let's go to Mike in Canada. Mike, how are you tonight?
Hi, Mike. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm in the Lunar Denier Club as well.
Oh, okay.
I can't help it. 69, first time, no problem, no deaths, to the moon and back. Are you kidding me? And the best they can do is fly a glorified airplane around the Earth now? There'd be Saudi billionaires who would love to probably get high on the moon. They would pay to go. There'd be a whole tourist industry available to some now. I've never believed it, to tell you
the
truth.
That's interesting. Again, you know, you start looking at it in a bigger picture, you know, and then if the people who make the scientific arguments against it know what they're talking about, and a lot of them seem to know it, there's good reason to doubt it. Absolutely.
Search out the press conference that Armstrong and his cohorts gave after, you can see it on YouTube, the very first press conference they gave. These guys look like their children have just died. They have allegedly, you know, just completed the most incredible feat known to man, and you can see it in their faces. They're blank, and they're following a script. They know that they're lying. There's another character who's also confronted numerous astronauts, and that's on YouTube as well. Will you just please swear on the Bible that you have walked on the moon? I'm asking you a simple question. Most of them get rude with them. They get aggressive. They don't want to have anything to do with it. The whole thing is laced with Masonic symbolism. I think it was done to instill the notion that America had not only atomic supremacy, they had supremacy on the moon, G.I. Joe number one, that kind of thing. It was a major propaganda event, in my opinion.
Yeah, as I say, I've come around to that myself. You know what I mean? It's like I never talk about it, for the simple reason that I don't feel qualified to to discuss it. There's, you know, because like I say, I don't understand a lot of the scientific aspects of it, but I think there's as good a reason to doubt that as there is to doubt the extraordinary claims about our so-called and beloved Holocaust.
Exactly, and I would believe that those involved on the ground swore, for reasons of national security, that they would not reveal the truth of the matter. It was as simple as that, for reasons of national security. And, of course, they would comply, even if they knew that they were staging a psyop of some kind on the mass mind. Why haven't they been back? Why haven't they gone back to the moon? There would be a tourist industry funding. The Saudis are a good example. I think lots of them and other billionaires would love to go to the moon. I would.
And you know, if you consider the fact that was, as you say, what, 1969? My God, how many
1969? They brought that tin can home into the ocean? Are you kidding me? Come on. No way. Look at the problems they had with the one space shuttle mission that I forget which number, but the one that blew up. And that they did that flawlessly to the moon and back. They even had room for a golf ball and a golf club on one of the missions. Get out of here. No.
Yeah, that's all, I think, that's all part of the little, you know, that kind of adds the flavor to it, kind of, that actually adds more to the... it adds more to the flavor, is what it does. It kind of, you know, yeah, that's a kind of a little distraction, you know, I'm repeating myself here, but you're right, absolutely.
All right, Mike.
All righty, Mike. Night. All right, thanks for your call. We have another Mike in Illinois. Mike, come on up.
Hey, Mike, how you doing, sir?
How you doing? What's up tonight?
Good. I wanted to tell you that I called, I was debating Michael Medved on Wednesday about Jewish control of government and media and finance. And these silver-tongued charlatans, I mean, they just have a way of just, like, pointing to, like, red herrings and throwing off the debate. I mean, talking about how we went to war for Israel. And he's like, well, how did the Israeli Congress people vote, the Jewish Congress people vote? The majority of voters against it, you know? And what about, I mean, just like these illogical statements that somehow prove his point, but, you know, I countered with AIPAC-controlled Congress, so it doesn't matter what individual...
Yeah, you know, that's an argument. That's one of the sorriest arguments they make, because there were a handful who, you know, who have been outspoken against the war, but that doesn't negate the fact, as you say, that all these members of Congress, Democrat and Republican alike, who are on the receiving end of all this campaign money from the pro-Israel PACs, which are basically dominated by AIPAC as a lobbying institution. Yeah, these guys did exactly what Israel wanted them to do. And a couple of these guys, like Russell Feingold of Wisconsin and the senator from Michigan.
Carl Levin,
yeah. He is their official cover story.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes down to. You know, I have to tell you, one time there was an anti-Israel protest. The Arab American organizations were protesting outside the place where AIPAC was gathering. I happened to attend that gathering with a friend of mine who I have a stuffed boar's head, and I put that big boar's head in a box and wrote Ariel Sharon on the side of it. It became quite a conversation piece during the rally. Well, after I left the rally and returned up to Capitol Hill, I passed Senator Levin on the street, and I said, "Senator Levin, meet Ariel Sharon."
What was his reaction?
He kind of shook his head and gestured at me as though I was not to be dealt with.
That's funny.
That was one of my better moments. I had to mention it here on the air, yeah.
that is a funny story. Also, Parting, he brought up how, like, if, you know, Jews control Congress and, you know, the candidates for president, how come Ron Paul is able to speak his mind and is against Israel? And I'm like, well, there's exception to every rule. And then he went on to say that, isn't it irresponsible of him to contribute to Nazi websites such as American Free Press? And And I was like, I started laughing. I'm like, well, what's your, and I plugged your book. I'm like, your readers should check out The New Jerusalem by Michael Collins Piper to get this succinctly, what I'm talking about. And
I wish I had a gold medal to give to you.
Yeah, I was planning on doing it, but he just gave me the opportunity when he brought up American Free Press.
You know, that's funny, and I have to say this for the record. Ron Paul does not contribute to American Free Press. We pick up his column, which is posted weekly on the Internet for free by Ron Paul. It's on his government website. We could pick up Senator Levin's weekly column. So for Mr. Medved,
right,
to say that even if American Free Press was neo-Nazi, which it ain't,
right,
Ron Paul does not contribute the column. And even if he didn't want us to run it, he really could not stop us from running it because it's posted on a government website.
Hey, Mike, I'll let you go, but I was wondering if I can get your email and maybe because I got the conversation on recording. So,
oh, please, yeah. My email is, Michael Collins Piper, 1960 at yahoo.com.
1960 at Yahoo.
At yahoo.com.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. That's fantastic. Good for you.
Yeah.
See, this is what people need to do. People need to confront these people like Medved and these other propagandists and just show them up for the liars and the deceivers that they are, because that's all they are, liars.
Absolutely.
And deceivers. So good for you, Mike.
Absolutely. Hopefully you'll get a little spike in your sales there and more people will be aware.
May well happen. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right. We are going to go to Brian in Pennsylvania. Brian, what's going on in the Keystone State?
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good. Hey, I was in Barnes & Noble over the weekend. My daughter works there. Anyhow, I spied Bugliosi's book.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately flipped to, of course, the index and looked up your name and noticed that there was one reference in the text. So I went to it, and I was so amazed that you are used to refute something that Gerald Posner states.
Absolutely. Isn't that funny? Yeah, what Bugliosi has done is to cover himself so that if anybody ever says to him, how come you never mentioned Michael Collins Piper, he can say, oh, I mentioned him in my book. I even quoted him. That's exactly what Bugliosi did. Then if you go, you know, he has a CD in the back of the book with, like, oh, I don't know, a 900 to 1,000 pages, additional pages of footnotes and references. And again, even in the book itself, where he refers to different groups that have allegedly been involved in the Kennedy assassination, he refers to the Mossad, and he says it's the Israeli intelligence service, and then he puts a footnote. So to find who says that the Mossad was behind the Kennedy assassination, then you have to take your CD to your computer and put it in, and there you'll find, guess what? It says Michael Collins Piper, Final Judgment. But the average person just picking up the book and looking at it will never know unless they go to the computer and go through the process. The third reference to me he has in the book, and I've written all about this in American Free Press, the issue that just went to press, the third reference to me, he refutes my suggestion that some of these guys down in New Orleans who became famous through the Garrison investigation, Clay Shaw, David Ferry, and Guy Bannister, he just simply says that Michael Collins Piper doesn't provide a shred of evidence that these guys were tied into what I referred to as the Permandex network. Well, the funny thing about it is, when he cites that and says I don't provide a shred of evidence, he's not citing Final Judgment. He's citing a transcription of a radio interview that I had done, which we ran in the Spotlight newspaper. And, of course, you know, when you're on the radio, I know this now from bitter experience, you don't have the time to go into all the details that you have in your book. So instead of refuting what I actually write in the book, he refutes a passing remark that I made in a radio interview. Now, if that is not intellectually dishonest, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I take it as a badge of honor that Bugliosi, even though he refutes some of the craziest stories about the JFK assassination, stories that are obviously easily refutable, he will not even touch what my thesis is.
No, it's just the idea that he uses you to refute a guy like Posner so bizarre.
It is bizarre. You're absolutely right. Okay, when I saw my name in the index, I, of course, did just as you did, turn to that page, and when I saw that, it was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bizarre. That's a very good word for it. But it was not just bizarre.
It was
intellectually dishonest, exactly what it is. So I understood what his game was, you know, and I almost had the opportunity to meet him recently. I'm glad I didn't, because if I had read that, I might have punched him in the nose. Hang on for the break, Brian.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hang on there for the break. This is Michael Collins Piper. We are going to be wrapping up the hour, so stay tuned, folks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention gardeners. If you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best-tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad-spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here. We're going to be wrapping up this hour right here on our network, the Republic Broadcasting Network. I do have one announcement to make. I have decided that as part of my campaign for president of the World Jewish Congress, commencing tonight, I'm going to invite the mother of Mark Glenn to serve as my official campaign manager. I am very politically correct, folks, and I am going to have a woman in charge of my campaign. So Let's welcome Mrs. Glenn aboard as my campaign manager. Okay, we've got Brian in Pennsylvania aboard with us. Brian, you were about to make a point before the evil music came on.
Yeah, well, the only thing else is between your book and Joan Mellon's book and Jim Mars' book and Mark Lane's and all the other books on the Kennedy assassination, whenever I find myself in any kind of argument or debate over this thing, I always say, if even 10% of what these people have written is true, it proves conspiracy.
Exactly, exactly. Thank you. You've made the point very, very well there, Brian, because that's the bottom line of it. You know, it's funny, what Bugliosi's argument is, he says, Lee Harvey Oswald was such a loser that neither the Mafia nor the CIA would have ever hired him as a hitman. Well, the problem with that argument is I don't know of anybody who says that even the CIA or the Mafia did it, that those who even believe that, I don't know of any of them who say that Lee Harvey Oswald was the hitman for the Mafia. No, he was the patsy for the Mafia and or the CIA, and certainly, as I think I've proven, at least to the satisfaction of a lot of people, the Mossad. So Bugliosi's book is just so thoroughly intellectually dishonest. It's his book reminds me in some respects, and again, I mentioned this today in my luncheon with Bill Fox of amfirstbooks.com. I said to Bill that in some respects, these books on the Holocaust are just like this Bugliosi book in the sense that they put together all this material and throw it in your face and think that because they've got a couple thousand pages that's going to snow you. But then when you start looking at the sources in books about the Holocaust, a lot of the things are very, very repetitive and come from sources that have been thoroughly refuted in books by the revisionists. Likewise with Bugliosi's book on the Kennedy assassination.
It's the whole a hoax. There's no business like show business.
That's exactly right. And
one more thing, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
My friend Glenn, our friend Glenn.
Yeah.
Is trying to reach you.
Okay.
I don't know if you got a. He tried to call the office. AFC.
I was in and out. I was down there, but in and out. As I say, I had to meet with Bill Fox and stuff. Yeah, I'll try to check in with him.
All right.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for your call, Brian.
Good night.
All right, folks. Well, I do hope you will support my presidential campaign for the World Jewish Congress. Please let them know that I'm willing to be an honest broker, an honest negotiator. I'm going to take their opinions to the American people, and I'm going to take the opinions of the American people back to the World Jewish Congress, and maybe finally we can solve these terrible problems in our world today, because it doesn't look like the World Jewish Congress and all their allies and the Anti-Defamation League and the American Jewish Committee and the American Jewish Congress, it doesn't look like they're going to reform themselves, so somebody is going to have to come in and clean house. And here I am, little old me, Mike Piper. I'm volunteering to do the job. So please, let's say a prayer. Let's say a prayer that somehow I can become head of the World Jewish Congress. It's a dirty job, folks, but somebody's got to do it. Thanks for listening in. Stay tuned, because my vice presidential running mate, Rick Adams, is coming on board right now. And if Rick doesn't know he's my running mate, somebody please call him and tell him. Have a good evening, folks. We'll see you here tonight, God willing.